Chapter 15. Precognition. A paradox is truth standing on its head to attract attention. Nicholas Folletta. Is there such a thing as precognition, or seeing the future? This ancient concept is present in every religion, going back to the oracles of the Greeks and Romans and to the prophets of the Old Testament. But in such tales, the gift of prophecy can also be a curse. In Greek mythology, there is the tale of Cassandra, the daughter of the king of Troy. Because of her beauty, she attracted the attention of the sun god, Apollo. To win her over, Apollo granted her the ability to see the future. But Cassandra spurned the advances of Apollo. In a fit of anger, Apollo twisted his gift, so that Cassandra would be able to see the future, but no one would believe her. When Cassandra warned the people of Troy of their impending doom, no one listened. She foretold the treachery of the Trojan horse, the death of Agamemnon, and even her own demise. But instead of taking heed, the people of Troy thought she was mad and locked her up. Nostradamus, writing in the 16th century, and more recently Edgar Cayce, have claimed that they could lift the veil of time. Although there have been many claims that their predictions have come true, for example, correctly predicting World War II, JFK's assassination, and the fall of communism, the obscure allegorical way in which many of these seers recorded their verses allows for a variety of contradictory interpretations. The quatrains of Nostradamus, for example, are so general that one can read almost anything into them, and people have. One quatrain reads, "Earth-shaking fires from the world's center roar. Around new city is the earth a-quiver. Two nobles long shall wage a fruitless war. The nymph of springs pour forth a new red river." Some have claimed that this quatrain proved that Nostradamus foresaw the burning of the Twin Towers in New York on September 11, 2001. Yet over the centuries, scores of other interpretations have been given to the same quatrain. The images are so vague that many interpretations are possible. Precognition is also a favorite device of playwrights who write of the impending doom of kings and the fall of empires. In Shakespeare's Macbeth, precognition is central to the theme of the play and to the ambitions of Macbeth, who encounters three witches who foresee his rise to become king of Scotland. With his murderous ambitions fired up by the witches' prophecy, he begins a bloody and grisly campaign to wipe out his enemies, including killing the innocent wife and children of his rival Macduff. After committing a series of hideous deeds to seize the crown, Macbeth learns from the witches that he cannot be defeated in battle or vanquished be until Great Birnam Wood to High Dunsinane Hills shall come against him, and that none of woman born shall harm Macbeth. Macbeth takes comfort in this prophecy, since a forest cannot move and all men are born of women. But the Great Birnam Forest does move, as the troops of Macduff, camouflaging themselves beneath twigs from the Great Birnam Forest, advance on Macbeth, and Macduff himself was born via caesarean. Although prophecies from the past have so many alternative interpretations, and hence are impossible to test, one set of prophecies is easy to analyze: predictions of the precise date of the end of the earth, doomsday. Ever since the last chapter of the Bible, Revelations, laid out in graphic detail the final days of the earth, when chaos and destruction will accompany the arrival of the Antichrist and the final second coming of Christ, fundamentalists have tried to predict the precise date of the end of days. One of the most celebrated of all doomsday predictions was made by astrologers who predicted a great flood that would end the world on February 20th, 1524. Based on the conjunction of all the planets in the heavens, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. Mass panic swept across Europe. In England, 20,000 people fled their homes in desperation. A fortress stocked with food and water to last 2 months was built around St. Bartholomew's Church. Across Germany and France, people furiously set out to build large arks to ride out the flood. Count von Igelheim even built a huge three-story ark in preparation for this momentous event. But when the date finally arrived, There was only a slight rain. The mood of the crowd suddenly swung from fear into anger. People who had sold all their belongings and turned their lives upside down felt betrayed. Angry mobs began to run amok. The count was stoned to death, and hundreds were killed when the mob stampeded. Christians aren't the only ones who feel the lure of prophecy. In 1648, Sabbatai Zevi, the son of a wealthy Jew in Smyrna, declared himself to be the Messiah and predicted that the world would end in 1666. Handsome, charismatic, and well-versed in the mystical texts of the Kabbalah, he quickly assembled a group of fiercely loyal followers who spread the news across Europe. In the spring of 1666, Jews from as far away as France, Holland, Germany, and Hungary began to pack their bags and heed the call of their Messiah. But later that year, Zevi was arrested by the Grand Vizier in Constantinople and thrown in prison in chains. Facing a possible death sentence, he dramatically cast off his Jewish clothes, adopted a Turkish turban, and converted to Islam. Tens of thousands of his devout followers left the cult in utter disillusionment. The prophecies of seers still resonate even today, influencing the lives of tens of millions of people worldwide. In the United States, William Miller declared that doomsday would arrive on April 3, 1843. As news of his prophecy spread throughout the United States, a spectacular meteor shower by chance lit up the night sky in 1833, one of the largest of its kind, further enhancing the influence of Miller's prophecy. Tens of thousands of devout followers, called Millerites, awaited the coming of Armageddon. When 1843 came and went without the arrival of the end of days, the Millerite movement split into several large groups. Because of the huge following amassed by the Millerites, each of these splinter groups would have a major impact on religion even today. One large piece of the Millerite movement regrouped in 1863 and changed their name to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which today has about 14 million baptized members. Central to their belief is the imminent second coming of Christ. Another splinter group of Millerites later drifted toward the work of Charles Taze Russell, who pushed back the date of doomsday to 1874. When that date also passed, he revised his prediction, based on analyses of the Great Pyramids of Egypt, this time to 1914. This group would later be called Jehovah's Witnesses, with a membership of over 6 million. Other segments of the Millerite movement, however, continued to make predictions, hence precipitating further splits each time a prediction failed. One small splinter group of Millerites was called the Branch Davidians. They broke off from the Seventh-day Adventists in the 1930s. They had a small commune in Waco, Texas, which fell under the charismatic influence of a young preacher named David Koresh, who spoke hypnotically of the end of the world. That group met a fiery end in their tragic encounter with the FBI in 1993, when a raging inferno consumed the compound, incinerating 76 members, including 27 children, and also Koresh.